I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We rewritten... Blah, 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 blah. Sorry, can't talk. We reset the
show. Wait, is that a
show.
Tape that just happened?
I'm sure I'll hear that again.
Are we kicking off again?
Kicking it off. Oh, yes. We are resetting the show here at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello with you till 7 o'clock today. First time in, at least 13 days that we haven't had a four-hour show. So we got two more hours to go. We reset. We're talking Padre baseball. They enter today's off day with a 7-6 record, third place in the National League West behind the Dodgers, and the first-place Rockies, who also won again today late, I believe. Daniel Murphy hit a big homer to kind of push that game out of reach for the Giants. And talking of the Padres, Chris, 7-6, man. I think under the circumstances and the teams they played, not bad. They very well could only have about three or four losses right now.
Yeah, that's where the couple of losses in San Francisco where the bullpens let those big leads get away kind of hurt you a little bit. You feel like you did let a couple games get away there. And let's face it, the difference between those two games is 7-6 and 9-4. But I also don't think you can be disappointed in the sense that you, as Bill Parcells famously said, you are what your record says you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is a very much improved team. This is a very good team. But this is far from a perfect team. And
right.
I think the fact that they're 7-6 kind of gives you that, underscores that point a little more. They've done a lot of good things. They've done, the stolen base numbers, the home run numbers, the starting pitching by and large has been outstanding. The performance of Cronenworth has been really something to see. Tommy Pham, but the addition of him to this ball club, I think, has just kind of been felt up and down the lineup. And that whole series of drawing walks and good at bats and making pitchers work, there's a lot of things that are so much better. But they're far from being, a lock solid, perfect ball club. They have a big problem at catcher. They have a problem at second base in terms of offense. Now, that could change if Cronenworth moves to second when Eric Hosmer returns. They're still struggling to get the bullpen sorted out and the way, getting the bullpen to where everybody thought the bullpen was going to be anyway. And they're still, in the game the last couple of nights, there's some plays that they left out on the field. And
yeah.
That's what Jace Tingler said. There's three or four things, and this is, I'm quoting him, there's three or four things that we need to do a little bit better if we want to beat teams like the Dodgers. And it's okay, because I think they competed well with the Dodgers, and they saw what they need to do. They're all fixable stuff, but, the different, as I said, there were some great plays in the game to be made, and the Padres came up just a little short, on a couple of them, and the Dodgers made the one play at the end to win the game. So that's why they're who they are, unfortunately, still.
We did have a first in last night's game, and that was Jace Tingler with his first major league ejection. And I tell you what, he did his best during that ejection to follow protocol. He kept his mask on a couple times.
It's my new favorite thing.
He started to pull it down one and then pulled it back up. He had his hands crossed.
He did.
I'm not gonna lie, as a player, That was pissing me off. The fact that I believe it was Mark Reppinger, the home plate umpire, he's flailing his arms. Because the whole idea between that argument and how, you know, etiquette goes is that you don't show each other up, you know. And you could be – you could, and as long as the manager has his arms folded, it's signaling to the umpire, listen, I'm being respectful. I have my arms folded, even though I disagree with what you're saying. And then on the flip side, you had the umpire just pointing out all kinds of things, pointing to the plate. It was just like, okay, where's the mutual kind of respecting? That thing kind of bothered me. But this was his first ejection. He was asked after the game about his ejection.
It's not built up. I mean, it's I think Manny thought the ball was down. I thought it was down, and, you know, it – either I go or Manny goes, I'm guessing. So that's as simple as that.
I mean, again, that speaks to his awareness. He recognized Manny was probably at a boiling point, who probably is frustrated not only with the call, but, you know, the way he's been swinging. So you got that boiling point coming. You need him in that game. And I think Jace Tingler sacrificed himself understanding that.
Another thing that he's done right, I think, in the minds of his players, Tony, and I can't speak for the players, but anytime a manager goes out and gets kicked out of a ball game to protect one of his players, that scores points with the rest of the players, not just the player he protected. I mean, everybody sees that. Every time he comes on and somebody says, well, how come Jurickson and Profar can't hit? He says, well, just a second. You know, Jurickson Profar can hit, and he's going to hit, and he's doing a lot of things well. My point being, sticking up for guys and sticking up for his bullpen and not letting people just take shots at his guys. And I think he's done a lot of things really well for just 13 games into his career. And last night was another good sign for me to get out there and take the heat from Machado. So that, first of all, you need Machado in the game. I mean, Machado
Most
gets a little more lift on that fly ball. That goes over the head of Chris Taylor, and the Padres end up winning the game on that line drive. So, you know, I think Jace Tingler's doing all of, you know, I guess say all the right things. I've had some second guesses, but if you played 13 baseball games and you haven't had a second guess, then you're not managing.
You're sitting in our seats right now. That's
right.
What you're
doing. You're just sitting there looking around. So I think he's doing fine.
Yeah, I agree. You bring up Manny Machado, and obviously he's off to a slow start, and you have to start wondering if he's becoming frustrated. Jace Tingler was asked about it.
I think we go through, you know, these moments where, you know, throughout the season, and it's probably highlighted a little bit in a short season. You know, just maybe trying to do a little too much, you know, at times. I think all of us, you know, fall into that. I think, you know, it was good to see Pham get the hit there in the ninth. And I think sometimes those guys, try to carry, you know, the load and maybe at times try to do too much. You know, you see Pham chase the, you know, 3-2 pitch off Trinan. That's pretty uncharacteristic. And, you know, they're trying to make things happen. And they've got a ton of the talent. We've got a ton of belief in them. And sometimes it's as simple as just letting the game come to you a little bit. But, I definitely think he's a little bit frustrated.
Yeah. And he brings up a good point because, you know, you got two guys hitting it right in the middle of the order who aren't playing the way they feel like they should. He mentioned the uncharacteristic 3-2 swing from Tommy Pham, who literally never swings at that pitch. But in that moment, he really doesn't. And in that moment, though, that's when you start to understand guys want to press. And it kind of speaks to what you were talking about earlier, Chris, when you're in the building recognizing that these guys are out here manufacturing their own energy. Like, they want to play well. And a lot of times in the game of baseball, just doesn't work out well for you.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, but how you deal with failure is one of the key things to being a successful baseball player.
No doubt.
Because there's just no way you're going to have a – even if you had a batting average of .600, you'd still be making out 40% of the time. And that's, of course, ridiculously unrealistic. So you have to deal with it. But I love the intensity that Tommy Pham has. Machado's – he's a natural. He's going to get it together. He's not, I mean, it's not like he's in an 0-for slump, and it's not like he hasn't done anything offensively. Right. He just hasn't done stuff to where he'd like to. But we remember last year when he took off in the middle of June and just carried the team. You got to hope that he has one of those runs in him here in the next, you know, couple of months, because that's the time we have for this season.
If you look around the league, there are some guys with surprising names struggling.
And, oh, and I bring give it you up. A whole list of them. But you know what? Every one of them are on my fantasy baseball team. Believe me. I can give you a whole list of guys that are just stinking up the joint right now. So
there's one thing that sticks out to me that Christian Yelich said, and he's one of the guys who's struggling right now. Mm-hmm. That in a 60-game season, there's going to be some names that you're used to seeing, you know, and in the leader top 10 leaderboards, they're going to have bad years this year, and vice versa. Guys that you're used to seeing have some bad years put together a good one in this 60-game season. It's going to be that type of year. Hopefully, Manny Machado does not fit in that category, that he gets going.
Who has a better batting average right now, Manny Machado or Cody Bellinger, the reigning MVP? I mean, it's pretty close. I'm just saying. Bellinger's been in the 100s most of the season. So,
yeah.
You know, it's still a little early to be worrying about some guy's batting average, but I'm glad Manny Machado's a little frustrated. That just what we've talked about this before. He cares. It's good. It's a good thing.
It is good. Fernando Tatis Jr. hit probably one of the more impressive homers of the year so far. Goodness. I don't know that I've seen a ball go up to where he hit that last one. But the talk was about the bat flip, though, and he was asked about the bat flip if he was trying to get his team some energy.
Yeah, that's just the mentality. You know, just looking to my boys, hopefully they can get a little bit more pumped up, and just so they can know we can do it and just keep battling.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely provided some energy, and, you know, he seems to be the type of guy that, A, is going to smile throughout the entire nine innings of a game, but when the moment is at its tightest, the moment is at the most pressure-filled, he seems to rise to the occasion. He really does. And I think that is something that, to me, represents star power.
There is only one thing in his game right now, Tony, and that's saying something, being as he's just beginning his second season.
21,
and his first,
right.
Yeah, his first season wasn't even a full season. He's 21 years old. There's one thing in his game right now that I'd love to see him clean up a little bit, and that's the strikeouts. But I for everything that he's giving the team, it's hard to ask him not to strike out. I mean, you know, he's got 9 extra base hits. He's got a .647 slugging percentage. And that's because he takes a cut. I mean, he loads it up and takes a little cut. But I think with 2 strikes, if he could learn to change his approach a little bit, you know, take a couple of dunk singles to right field instead of striking out, move a couple of runners. But that's a really small complaint based on everything he is giving the team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's an extremely small complaint. And
honestly,
when you're putting the kind of numbers that it's not like he's striking out a lot and hitting like .240, .250. I mean, if you're going to strike out a lot, I'm okay with it as long as the numbers project to what they look like right now.
Yeah.
It's just the strikeout thing becomes an issue when you're not filling the categories up that you're supposed to. He still has a good on base. He's slugging, as you said. He's hitting for average. He's hitting for power. He's driving the ball. I'll take the strikeouts as long as I'm getting the production. Now, if you're not loading up on all those categories, then the strikeouts become a problem. But right now, I mean, you're right. If there is one thing in this game that he's going to clear, and you know what? To be honest, that's just going to come with age. It's like clockwork most of the time with these guys. Who guys of Tatis's caliber, as they get older, they start recognizing, look, I don't need to sell out on 2 strikes. I can take a little bit, cut a little bit down on my swing, take that single, or find a way to get on base and draw the walk. But
can
nevertheless,
I just ask you something? This is an analytical thing with Tatis Jr. He's had 51 official at-bats this year, and he struck out 21 times. That means he's put the ball in play 30 times. And out of those 30 times that he's put the ball in play, he has 15 hits. Scraby, can you help me with your Colorado State math?
What were the numbers?
15 hits out of 30 times. What's that?
Oh, that's 500.
Thank you. I'm just saying, does that is that something that you worry about analytically and say that can't hold up? Or do you look at it and say, no, that's just how hard this guy hits the ball? I mean, 15 out of 30 is pretty impressive.
I mean, generally speaking, you say that that doesn't hold up, you know, yeah. which would then feed into what you're talking about being able to cut down on strikeouts. Because honestly, didn't know that it was 21 punches, you said, out of 51 yeah. at-bats. That's a lot. That's
yeah, the only guy giving him a run for his money is Will Myers. But Will Myers is hitting 302. Hello, comeback player of the year.
We can't it's tough to be critical of it because of the production. And although yes. we don't think it could last, remember, we're not in a 162-game season.
It doesn't have to last that long.
It doesn't have to last. So, nevertheless, Padres on their off day today. They regroup, come back tomorrow. They'll face the Diamondbacks, correct?
Diamondbacks again.
Diamondbacks. Yeah. I got the Diamondbacks coming up, and hopefully they can start to clean up some of those little things. All right, let's step away, get to break. When we return, we got J.D. Wicker.
Yeah.
There's some San Diego State news on the horizon.
Good
news. Not only in the conference in terms of how the Mountain West is going to get through this football season, but there's some news on the stadium front that I'm excited about. We'll get to it when we return. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick with traffic.
Welcome back to the program. 5:21 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. It's Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station. 97.3 The Fan coming up our countdown a little bit later on in the program. We will have a pop quiz for the guys, but right now we're going to talk a little San Diego State athletics. I can't tell you how often I get asked, you know, what's going to happen with the San Diego State Aztec football season. Well, let's go to the man and find out the answers, or as much as we know at the moment. Athletic Director J.D. Wicker joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. J.D., how are you today?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are y'all?
We are excellent.
Good.
Always great having you on the show, and let me just get a little update from you. I know that the Mountain West Conference came out and said 10-game schedule for football, 8 conference games. Where does that leave the Aztecs right now? Where do you kind of think things are in terms of this season?
Well, we're excited to have a little more, definition to the season at this point. We kind of have an answer as to when we're, going to work on starting. So that September 26th date at Nevada Reno, and right now we have 9 games on the schedule, so we're working on what a 10th game would look like. We have a bye date, October 31st, or potentially that December 5th weekend, since we're going to move the championship game back, to find something. So we're working on finding that extra game, and we're excited to work towards playing football at the end of September.
J.D., I want to ask you, I read a quote from our guy Kirk Kenny, an article he wrote, talking about pushing the season back will help learn from the professional sports. What kind of things are you guys looking at specifically to kind of get some help on?
Yeah, I think one of the things, looking at their protocols, all the different things they're doing around, especially with football, what the NFL's doing, and then, how it goes for them. And then there are also conferences that are going to start earlier in September, so getting to watch them return to play quicker than we are, and, what challenges they might run into that we can learn from and handle better, or protocols that they put into place. So there'll be a lot of watching as we, continue our march toward, getting into full practice and then playing games.
J.D. Wicker from San Diego State, the athletic director of the Aztecs, the red and black, representing here on Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. I'll tell you what, JD, there's been a lot of times during this offseason, I'm sure in some private moments you've probably snuck down the rabbit hole yourself, but this is really good to hear that, you know, the Mountain West Conference is, I think, going about this in the smartest way possible and trying to learn as much as possible, because I really had my doubts about a college football season, or at least having one in the fall. Do you think that with what you've heard in the last 24, 36 hours, do you kind of believe that it's actually going to transpire and be able to take place?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to work hard to get there. You know, a lot of we've worked very hard on our repopulation plan. It's been fun to see the men out there working out and, you know, getting to be back together and start doing some, you know, football type of activities. And, you know, if you're not, if you don't think it's going to happen, then you wouldn't be out there doing it. So we're excited that, you know, we're creating a lot of, you know, good health and safety protocols. We're working with our doctors. We're working with experts across campus. The Mountain West Conference has its own medical team made up of, you know, doctors and athletic trainers from across the conference. We've got all of the NCAA protocols and, you know, the team that they've put together. So we've got the smartest minds working on creating the safest possible way for us to keep playing, and we're going to continue working on that.
J.D. Wicker, Aztecs Athletic Director, joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. J.D., obviously we look across, we've seen a lot of players opting out. What have you and Coach Hoke told players about their safety concerns?
Yeah, you know, we met with the football team. I think by the end of the day we've met with every football player, but I met with the seniors yesterday and, you know, talked about what's come out of, you know, the Pac-10 Unity Group, the Big Ten Unity Group, and allowing those young men to, you know, ask the questions that they might have. And, you know, if a student-athlete wants to opt out, then, you know, they're still going to be on scholarship. They're still going to have access to all of the academic pieces, which are all going to be done virtual anyway. They'd have access to their athletic trainer and team doctors. But, again, if you're opting out, then you're not – you know, you're not going to have access to, you know, the strength and conditioning area, team practices, those types of things, because, again, you're opting out from a coronavirus, you know, issue. So they'll still be on scholarship, and then the NCAA is going to come out by next Friday with a ruling on if a student-athlete opts out or their season gets canceled, what their eligibility status looks like for next year. I would imagine, based on what was done in the spring, that anybody that opts out or has their season canceled will have the option to have an additional year of eligibility.
Aztecs Athletic Director J.D. Wicker, our guest here. Aztecs hoping to get the college football season underway a little later on in September with University of Nevada, September 26th. I know we talked about, you know, when and if the Aztecs football team is able to play some games at Qualcomm Stadium and we're going to talk about the new stadium too in just a second. I know Tony's dying to ask you a couple things, but just last thing I wanted to ask about this upcoming season is fans. Is there any talk or where are you on, you know, spreading some fans throughout the stadium? Is that even still a possibility? Because I know you and I, we and Tony, we had kind of discussed that a few months ago. Do fans still have a chance maybe to see some football this year?
We've built the plan out right now, you know, appropriately social distanced, following all of, you know, the guidelines. And we're, you know, we feel like we've got a really good plan put together. We're just waiting now for the governor to, you know, provide his guidance on collegiate athletics and whether or not we will be able to have fans in the stands.
Perfect.
J.D., I've been dying to talk about this. I saw some of the paperwork signed by the mayor here, Mayor Faulkner. It looks like it is signed, sealed, and delivered. At what point does the shovel get into the ground for this new stadium?
Yeah, it's you know, apparently on Twitter we saw the mayor had signed the purchase sale agreement, so that's a good thing. We'll close escrow next week. I think we're targeting the 12th. So on the 13th, we will have Clark Construction out there putting up construction fence and starting to to tear things up, and you know, so hopefully exciting. I think we're working on a groundbreaking, mainly virtual groundbreaking, but we're working on something for the following week, so look for information on that. We are full steam ahead. Fall 2022 is still our plan to open the new stadium, so we're excited to host Aztec football. We're going to host soccer in that stadium as well, concerts, all the other things that you can have in a great stadium, and pound for pound, seat for seat, it's going to be the best stadium in the country.
So exciting.
I know. I got to tell you, Tony, I think my San Diego, sports man of the year, J.D. Wicker's got to be right there. His photo's got to be on the cover of that magazine.
Indeed.
I was going to ask you how your golf game is, J.D., but I can't believe you've had a day off in the last 9 months trying to put all this stuff together. It's been absolutely incredible, and you deserve a tremendous amount of credit for getting things where they are. And I'm not just saying that because I do basketball games and I'm hoping to get a raise.
It has truly been a team effort, a great core group of people worked on this. We, overcame a lot of folks who told us we couldn't do it, we wouldn't do it, we can't do it, and we just put our head down and we went to work. And when you do that, this is what happens.
Yep, awesome. It's fantastic. Well, great job, JD. Good news on the football front yesterday, and hopefully the good news will keep coming. We look forward to chatting with you down the road. Thanks for everything.
Thanks,
and thanks for everything you've done for the Red and Black.
All right, guys, I appreciate it very much. Appreciate the time, and go Aztecs.
You got it. There
Indeed.
He is, John David Wicker, J.D. Wicker, the athletic director at San Diego State. I'm not kidding, Tony. I mean, how could you have two bigger things going on at one time?
No.
I mean, than trying to get a new stadium built in this town and then trying to, negotiate everything that's gone along with the coronavirus pandemic. It's absolutely amazing that San Diego State's kind of sitting in the position it is, and with a little luck, maybe they will get a football season in after all, and that would really be something if they'd pull it off. So, but then again, like he said, nobody thought they'd pull off the new stadium, and they pulled that off. So he's got that going for him.
They definitely do. They definitely this opponent is a little bit trickier, though.
It is,
and that's saying a lot.
That's saying something, because the city of San Diego, when it comes to new stadiums, is pretty tricky.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff from J.D. Wicker. Thank you, Scraby, for setting that up today. It was good timing to have him on the program. We still have 90 minutes to go. No Padres tonight. They have the day off if you're looking for a Padre game. They finally got one day off on the Major League Baseball schedule after 13 games. After today, the Padres will play the next 17 days. So 30 of the first 31 days of the season, the Padres are in action. Next game, though, is tomorrow against the Arizona Diamondbacks. But coming up on our program, we still got a countdown for you. We got a pop quiz for the guys, and I think we're going to have a contestant on that today, are we not, Scraby, with a chance to win prizes?
Yes, because you dominated Chris vs. the Fans earlier.
How did that go again?
You barely won Chris vs. the Fans
barely
earlier.
Won. That's right. That's more accurate. I did barely win because all the contestants took it down to the third question today. So it was a good round of Chris vs. the Fans, but the prize remains available. So, yes, around 6:20, we're going to ask a phone caller to join us for the pop quiz. And if you can beat both Scraby and Tony in the pop quiz, you're going to get one of those really awesome Padre opening day ball caps. So that's coming up at 6:20. But next, it's the countdown. I'm Chris Zello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr. Stick around. Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Gwynn and Chris like to rank things. Not college rankings, not athlete rankings.
So what's your point?
But their own rankings. And these rankings can be very serious.
Top five ways that we like potatoes.
Top five pizzas.
Top five ways to beat the heat.
I like where this is going. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
The countdown starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
This hour is brought to you by CashInACan.com. Auto DIYers, if your vehicle AC isn't working, you're going to use a can of R134A automotive refrigerant to recharge it. Before you do, visit CashInACan.com, learn how to recharge your AC right. Get your deposit back and help the planet. Visit cashinthecan.com. We got a countdown. And today's countdown, we're going actors. Decided to keep it fun because we've missed it. We haven't done it in a while. And what better actor to do than Al Pacino? We'll start there with our top five Al Pacino flicks.
I guess he's only been nominated for 18 Golden Globe Award wins. Not bad.
No, how many Academy Awards?
Nine times he's been nominated for an Academy Award in acting. Nine times.
Solid.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
Al's got some depth.
He
does a little bit of everything.
Yes, he does.
I'll start with my number five flick, and that is Scent of a Woman. Actually, it actually took a long time to watch this movie. My wife kind of introduced me to it. Good flick. Definitely not necessarily my type of flick, but this one was really good. I enjoyed it. Case you haven't seen it, it's of a former, I believe, lieutenant, right? Who's blind, if I'm not mistaken. And
this is the one
he's a little difficult to deal with, to say the least.
Yeah, this is the one that he won his only Academy Award for. Although I think he's been better in other movies. It was just the year fell right for him.
Yeah.
And he won the award. Scent of the Woman didn't quite make my list. But it was certainly had to be on there because he was so good in it. Number five for me is Scarface. Give me a little Tony Montana shooting
up the
entire world.
Say hello to my little friend.
What'd you say?
Say hello to my little friend.
That has got to be in a top of the hour open right there. That just has to be.
Please.
One more time, Scraby.
Location, location, location.
I don't think I need to say anything more. If you never saw Scarface, look, there's going to be a little bloodletting, okay?
A little?
Just deal with it. It's still pretty a crazy movie, and it's kind of legendary. And Al Pacino's character, he's just over the top in that one a little bit.
He taught me a lot about life.
Still one of my favorites.
Who taught you a lot about life?
Al Pacino in Scarface.
Scarface, man.
Number four. Number four on my list is Righteous Kill. This is a movie that both Al Pacino and Robert De Niro were in. This is an NYPD crimes flick, and it takes place in New York. They had done a case together back in the day, thought they had put this murderer behind bars, only years later to be eerily working a very similar crime. These two are, I think, perfect together in flicks. This is a good one. Righteous
Kill. You got those guys in a movie, it better be at least decent. I mean, like you and I could write and direct it, and it would probably be good. They wouldn't agree to be in it, though. Number four for me on the Al Pacino list is the first movie he was ever nominated for Best Actor and Academy Award for. It's called Serpico. It's spelled with an S. S-E-R. P-I-C-O. Serpico is the last name of a lieutenant in the New York Police Department who doesn't like the fact that there's a whole bunch of shenanigans going on in the New York Police Department. So he tries to uncover and expose all of the corruption in the police force that he works in. And he is spectacular. And really an outstanding movie done in the early 1970s, but it's based on a true story. It plays Officer Frank Serpico. It still comes on HBO once in a while, so if you happen to be flipping by one night, it's not a bad place to stop.
Can I interject for 1 second with something
1973,
different?
1973, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you got?
I just watched the movie Taxi Driver a couple weeks ago with Robert De Niro. Is Al Pacino in that one? I'm trying to remember. No. I don't think he is.
He's not.
But Taxi Driver was a pretty good movie. Just wanted to let you guys know that.
The other
you talking to me?
The other movie that those two played in together was Heat.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't play in too many together.
No. Number three. Number three on my list, Devil's Advocate.
Oh, that was kind of good.
That's fantastic.
This one, this is one of those movies where I just like kind of agreed to go see it, not really knowing what to expect. Yeah, that was a mistake. If you're not ready for Devil's Advocate, there's some weird scenes in this flick, to say the least. But it's about a lawyer who is, you know, trying to move his way up the ladder. He takes a job in New York. His boss is Al Pacino. He's the head of the firm, and Al
he's
is
the
not
devil
your.
Too, isn't he not?
He say again.
Is he not the devil as well?
I was about to say, Al is not your typical boss.
No.
He is the devil. Yes.
Yes. It's a good movie. All right, number three for me is very similar to Serpico in the sense where Serpico, he's trying to uncover corruption in the police force. This movie's called And Justice for All. Came out in 1980. He was also nominated for Best Actor in the Academy Awards. And he plays a lawyer in this movie who is trying to knock out all the corruption in the world of law and order. And it's pretty memorable, especially the final scene of the movie when I don't really want to give it away in case you ever see it. But he basically has a judge that is a corrupt judge. And he knows the judge is corrupt, and the judge just messes him up on so many of his cases, and he hates this judge. And then this judge gets charged with rape, and the judge picks him to defend him.
Ooh.
And he has to defend a guy that he hates, and he has to defend a guy that he knows is guilty, and he has to defend a guy that he knows belongs behind bars, but he doesn't know what to do about it. And you'll honestly never guess what he does do about it in the final scene of the movie. It's a classic. And Justice for All.
That might have to go on my list. I like the way you set that up there.
You should go. You should see it. It's funny, too. His character is very funny. There's a lot of comedy in the movie, but it's a drama. But it's a lighthearted drama in that regard. He's very good. His name is Arthur. And he's a great, great lawyer.
Number two.
Number two on my list is Scarface, the ultimate tough guy gangster movie out there.
Yeah.
I think...
What was that you said earlier, Scraby?
Say hello to my little friend.
Oh, yes, indeed. No, this movie, I mean, it's a classic. I think everybody probably has seen it at this point.
Yeah, everybody's seen it. But they love it.
Yep.
Number two for me... Again, I'm going in. I'm sorry I'm in the 70s again, guys, but this is when I think all of his best stuff was. He was also nominated for Best Actor in the Academy Awards for this one. Number two is called Dog Day Afternoon. He plays a bank robber who holds up a New York bank, and the whole movie is set inside the bank after he holds up the bank, and a lot of things go wrong, but he is just tremendous in this movie. And incredible. And, I mean, it's just plays out just amazing. I can't set it up as good as some of the other ones because I don't remember it quite as well. I just know that I loved it. And it was nominated for Best Picture, too. Dog Day Afternoon, 1976.
Number one.
Number one for me is Any Given Sunday.
Ah, goes for the coach.
I loved him as the coach. A lot of stars in this movie. Al Pacino, obviously, Cameron Diaz, Jamie Foxx, Dennis Quaid, LL Cool J. This was a good movie. I enjoyed this movie a lot. Willie Beeman.
It was a great movie.
What was the name of the team? The New York Sharks?
The Los Angeles Sharks.
No, the Miami Sharks.
Miami Sharks. I love the fact Jamie Foxx used this in one of his stand-up comedies. He's telling the story about when Al Pacino does the one of the more famous lines in the movie. You do what you're effing told. And he said when he did it, his spit out of his mouth landed right on his lip. That would be a COVID violation.
Definite
now.
COVID
that
violation.
Would be a violation.
His speech to the team at the end, it makes me want to get up and go play football.
Yeah,
it's
run
amazing.
Through a wall.
He made They're me not... believe he was a. He made me honestly believe he was an NFL or he was a football coach.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what the best actors can do, and he's one of the best. No question. All right, number one for me, Al Pacino movie of all time is the one that put him on the map. He was also nominated for Best Actor in the Academy Awards for this one. And it is The Godfather Part 2. He is brilliant in The Godfather, but that's more Marlon Brando's movie. Godfather Part 2 is where he takes over the crime family, and he's the king guy. I don't think there's a movie about, you know, the mafia or a movie about, you know, any kind of powerhouse organization that doesn't take a few things from The Godfather.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, Al Pacino's acting and his role. I mean, everything that Robert De Niro ever did as a tough guy. Everything that everybody's ever done as a tough guy all comes after, you know, Brando and Al Pacino and The Godfather.
I'm gonna make an admission.
I got a confession. I did not know Al Pacino was in Dick Tracy.
Yes.
Oh yeah. He's one of the bad guys. He's got a very funny. He's got a costume on. You can barely tell
it's him. Yeah, he's got makeup
on.
Yeah, that's why I didn't know it until just now. Going through his whole list of movies here.
Yeah.
My admission is I've never seen Godfather Part 2.
Have you seen Godfather?
No, never seen any of them.
Never seen either one.
No.
You know, the thing question, is, why did you decide to start with Part 2 there? Why didn't you just add everything?
Because don't people think that Part 2 is the best one?
They're both good. The thing about them is that when they came out in the early 70s, they were really stunning because nothing had ever been done like that. Mm. Now, if you went back and watched The Godfather and The Godfather 2, you would like it because they're just both fantastic movies. But you'd also say to yourself, well, I've seen The Sopranos, right?
Yeah.
I've seen
right.
all this other stuff since then.
It was
so the violence wouldn't hit you quite as hard as it did. But
it's true.
Still doesn't mean they're great movies. They are great. They do stand the test of time.
I'm going to make it a mouth for a can't refuse.
Yeah, that's Marlon Brando.
Scraby, you're the king of the one-liners.
I guess
yeah, you're
so.
You're doing good today on your imitations, Scraby.
I guess so.
Very good.
Thanks.
That does it for our
that
countdown.
Wraps it up, yeah. That's our countdown.
Hope you enjoyed.
That's all for the countdown on 97.3 The Fan.
Hope you enjoyed because that'll be a while before you get another one. What, 17
know,
days?
We don't get to do the countdowns as much anymore. Yeah, I hope you go see And Justice for All, Tony.
Yeah, I might have to buy that on my Apple TV account. That sounds like a one that
it
I
is,
own.
It is. I love it. I've seen it a dozen times, but it's the ultimate one in terms of the law because the law presents you so many of those situations.
Yeah.
Like where, I mean, cause when you're a lawyer, you sign away the fact that you got to stick up for your client, right, wrong, or
right
indifferent
or
whatever.
Right.
And the judge in this case, who he hates, picks him for the precise reason that everyone in the lawyer community knows that they hate each other, and the judge figures, well, if he's, you know, my lawyer, everyone's going to think I have to be innocent because he'd never know the case. But Al Pacino proves to himself that the judge is guilty, and the final scene of the movie is classic, classic, classic.
Indeed.
Anyway, hopefully you'll see it someday. You'll love it.
Happy hour on the way. That should be a very, very happy hour. Don't we got a game coming up here?
Pop quiz. And we're going to talk about one word to kick off the hour.
All right. You heard it here.
You know what that word is?
I don't.
Kepka.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to talk about old Brooksy. Quinn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.